Pittsburgh, I love ya. This is Brian Edward, and you're listening to Berg Vivant, Pittsburgh's cultural talk magazine, delivered digitally, straight up, shaken, and stirred. Tonight's broadcast brought to you by our spectacular sponsors and strategic partners, Zafalo's Banquet and Event Center, Carnegie, Pennsylvania, one of the most beautiful and unique venues in the greater Pittsburgh area for weddings, corporate dinners, fundraisers, and more. Visit clubzafalo.com. Off the Wall Theater, enlivening, educating, and entertaining audiences in the Pittsburgh region. View their current season at insideoffthewall.com. Arcade Comedy Theater, hosting local and national comedians, sketch comedy, improv, and more. 811 Liberty Avenue, downtown. Be sure to like them on Facebook or find them at arcadecomedytheater.com. Berg Vivant is a proud supporter of Firefly Arts, creating opportunities and support for families living with autism through innovative arts programming. You can learn more and show your support at fireflyarts.org. Kevin Glavin, good to see you here on Berg Vivant, sir.
It's good to be here on Berg Vivant.
In my opinion, I've got to tell you right off, you are one of the funniest people in Pittsburgh, I have to say.
Well, I know.
Off stage. And I think, you know, in opera, which is the medium in which you perform the most, I think a lot of people, you know, you're hilarious on stage, but I think a lot of people, you know, assume opera is sometimes stuffy and, you know, things like that, but it's so comedic. And that's something you absolutely tune into.
Yeah, well, that's my background was in comedy. And when I was first asked if I was going to do opera for a living, I studied with a woman named Claudia Pinza, and her father was a famous opera singer, Ezio Pinza. And when I started studying with her, she's like, "Oh, you have to sing the opera, Kevin. Your voice is perfect." And I said, "Opera? No. I wanted to go out to Vegas, and you know, in the 70s, the Rat Pack was big, and that's what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
I wanted to stand there with a drink in my hand and a cigar in another hand and do shows and sing and tell jokes, and that didn't work.
What happened?
Well, she took me to Italy, and then all these Italians said, "No, you're an opera singer. You have to sing opera." And I was like, "Opera? I don't think I like it." And I didn't like it at the time. It was, like you said, it was stuffy, and I thought, and at that time, it was really stuffy.
Yeah.
You know, now we're sort of lightening up, but it was a very difficult time for a guy who was from Pittsburgh and known as a comedian to sit there and have people like, "What are you doing? No, this is opera. God bless it." And I'm like, "Oh, come on, get over yourselves. It's entertainment."
Right. And I think we forget that, you know, I mean, you know, here in America especially, and the canon of classic opera seems to be shrinking very small. You know, you see the same ones over and over again a lot. So how do you keep that fresh? Because I imagine you've played the same role several times.
This role, I was just telling another guy this morning, I've done this role more than any role I've done in my career. And the first time I did it professionally was here in 1988.
Wow.
And since I had that opening, I've done this show two to three productions every year since 88.
Wow.
So it's become my, like, my piece. You know.
And that is Don Bartolo?
Bartolo.
Is that, there's a
not
wine.
Bartolo.
There's a wine, right?
Bartolo.
That's Bartolo. In Barber of Seville. Yes. I think there's a, not a Don Bart, there's a Bartolo. Isn't that a wine? Or is it, maybe it's a carpet.
Yeah. No, it's a something. I think it might be a wine. You know what? It could be. Absolutely. Why not?
It's a classic opera character, which you'll be portraying here at Pittsburgh Opera.
Yes.
In Barber of Seville.
Right.
Once again. So, yeah, you've played it a few times. Opening here April 2nd.
And again, too few to mention. We open the 2nd, correct.
But now I imagine that, you know, the career of an opera performer, there's a lot of travel involved, not just nationally, but internationally. But for many years, you maintained that career and also were a business proprietor here in Pittsburgh.
Well, yes. I grew up in a family that was typical Pittsburgh. I grew up in the 60s, and my father was a union leader, and my uncles were bookies and club owners, and they all smoked cigars. And when I was a kid, I loved these guys. I mean, they were guys. You know, they were all just, everybody looked up to them. And I loved that, so I always thought, boy, would I like to run a club or something if I could ever have a chance. So as I was traveling, a club was opening up, and I said to the president, I said, now listen, if you ever get out of this, I want to get in, so just let me know. Well, he already had somebody in mind, and I got home just in time, and I said, no. I'm taking over this club. So it was called the Young Men's Republican Club of Allegheny City. Now, what's funny about this is I'm a good friend of Billy Hillgrove's, and he's the voice of the Steelers. And so Billy, anytime he introduces me, I do a lot of charity golf outings. I like to golf, and so I will do certain things for, but Billy always asks me to do this outing with him. And he introduces me. He goes, ladies and gentlemen, international opera star Kevin Glavin, who's from Pittsburgh, and is a proprietor of the Young Men's Republican Club of Allegheny City, where there's no young men and there's no Republicans.
So business was good?
Yes, it was great.
Okay, good.
Well, on the north side, you're not getting any Republicans. Forget about it. It's not happening.
But just sold the club recently.
I left. Yeah, I had to get out. It was time. Yeah, I'm in like the third chapter, probably the final chapter in my life.
Oh, no.
Yes, absolutely.
Third. Let's go with third.
Okay, the third. And I just figured, okay, lifestyle's got to change. I mean, I've always been able to, you know, perform and do what I had to do. I worked hard, but when you're running a bar and you're smoking a lot of cigars, and it tends to catch up. So yeah. I finally said, that's it. I'm done with it. And so, you know, I'll have a martini today, and then that's it. I quit.
Well, here it is, the ribbon cutting or ribbon tying.
Thank you so much.
But do you think that this will leave you more time to perform?
So I'm with an agency now in New York, Encompass Arts. And actually, they're really into television and movies. And so they want to steer me that way now. And I'm on a thing now called Actors Access. Mm. So what I have to do is, similar to what we're doing right now, I have to do monologues. So I brought all the cameras with the umbrellas and stuff. So I would just do different monologues. And then you put them under, like when you put your pictures on Actors Access, you put the monologues under each picture so they can hit it.
Yeah.
And see you do different monologues. And I'm really excited about that because I love acting.
I'm excited for you because, you know, I've seen you in several operas here, and I thought, this guy has got to, like, branch out and do something. I want to see him on television. I want to see him in stage comedies.
I do, too.
I think that'd be wonderful. Really.
I get such a kick out of you.
And for those who have not seen you on stage, I've got to say, you've got such a stage presence. You know, I mean, you're a scene stealer. I mean, are you aware of this?
I don't know. But you know what? I really don't. It's funny because all my career, I just did what I did. And people say, oh my God, you have this thing when you walk up. I'm like, what is it? I don't know what it is. I really don't.
Hey, go with it.
And I think I've heard some actors say that, you know, they call it the it factor. Either you have it or you don't. And for some reason, I have it. And thank God I do.
It's instincts, too. And that's something that can't be taught.
No.
You know, I think you just kind of naturally have that comedic timing. You know what to do. You feel the pulse of your audience.
Yeah.
And that's what I see when I've seen you on stage.
You know what also is great is being a comic actor, singer, it's easier for me to get serious and do serious stuff. Like, I can play mobsters, I can play, you know, bouncers or whatever, because it's easier for me to get serious, because most comedy comes out of something that happened in your life, tragic, so you want to make people laugh, you feel like, you know, there's something happening. Mm. So it's great, because I know there's a lot of guys that work with me, they want to be funny, and I tell them, look, you do what you do, let me be funny, and you'll look a lot better. Don't try to be funny, because trying to be funny doesn't work. It just doesn't work.
You're playing at it.
Yeah.
And sometimes the joke is on you, and you've got to let it be on
Absolutely.
You, and that's what's funny.
And you've got to have enough stuff inside to say, bah, that's good.
So you've got a real challenge, though, in this production of Barber of Seville, because the Pittsburgh Opera got a lot of press recently because they were casting dogs in this show. Now, literal dogs.
Bulldogs
right. In particular.
Well, I look like a bulldog.
Well, I asked your marketing guy. I said, you know, why bulldogs? And he said, well, you know how they say some pets have to resemble their owners? Like,
did he say that?
Yes!
Son of a... When do I catch up with him?
Right.
I
mean,
so that I can say that. He's not
casting,
allowed to say
that. They're casting bulldogs and two of them. So they this, and it got a lot of great press. It's fantastic. But you know, they've always said, I think since the days of vaudeville, never appear on stage with children or animals.
Well, that was always my line, because it can get dicey. And I'll give you a story. I was in Jacksonville, Florida a couple years ago doing the Barber of Seville. I had two bulldogs. They were great. They loved the stage. So we only did one show. We rehearsed for 9 days, had the dogs, and I'm waiting to go out for my first entrance. And the door stuck. So there's a guy on the keyboard just playing and noodling, because he's like, uh-oh, he's supposed to be out here. And I'm going with the door, and I finally just ran into it and just bam, and took the dogs with me. And all of a sudden, I look over and I see this door flying, and it hit the center of the stage. I knocked it right off the hinges.
Wow.
But it was great, because I made a whole bit about it. And
nobody was thinking of the dogs after that.
No. But the dogs loved it. They ran right out.
Oh, okay. As long as
they were fine. And they were really great. And I got some pictures of... And I've worked with dogs before. But in La Boheme, you know, I play a character, Alcindoro, and he's a wealthy guy. And Musetta, who you... Shari Gruber, the last time I did it here.
Yes.
Was with Shari. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if we had a dog that time, but we've done it where she has a dog and she hands it to this rich guy. And I'm like, oh. And the poor old dog. We had this one. He was so scared. Every time he saw me, he started shaking. He just had to see me. And I'm like, oh, it's okay. Because he knew I was going to like pass him. Yeah. And the poor dog was like, it never barked, but it was like, oh. I felt so bad for that.
Well, I think, you know, animals, I think being on stage, I mean, with the presence from you that I've seen on stage, they are the ones that should be worried. You know, I think.
Well, the thing is, whatever they do, I'm just going with that.
That's right.
Go with that and let them. Yeah, the director told me there's a scene coming up that she wants them on stage with me for a while. And I'm like, well, you know, they may get bored or something, or they may have to go boop.
Yeah, get your pooper
scoop. Yeah, well, I'll tell somebody backstage.
Yeah, that's right. Hey. We have friends backstage.
I don't scoop the poop. No, not me.
So what do you think, you know, there's sort of seems like to be a new wave of modern operas coming about now, you know, and, you know, whenever I've seen you, I've seen you in a lot of the classics. You know, how do you feel about some of these new modern pieces that are coming up?
I think it's fine, you know, as long as they make sense. And like a lot of times people just want to do stuff just to do it. And I like when things really make sense and you tell me, okay, I wrote this piece, this is your character, and it goes all the way through, so I you know, it makes sense to me. If it doesn't make sense, it's like doing a movie or something. A lot of guys will take scripts and say, forget about it, because they can't feel their character in it. And but I think it's great. We're going to have to move on. I mean, you know, we're not singing music from Christ time or anything like that anymore.
But you know, I'm kind of starting to see that it's becoming a finer and finer line between modern opera and almost musical theater.
Right. And I was doing an interview with QED, and I said, what we have to be careful about when we update pieces, that we still keep the integrity of the piece, the music, what it means, you know, especially updating pieces that were written in a certain period, that it makes sense. And we don't lose the music. That's the most important thing in opera. You know, we don't use mics in that. But what's happening now is you're getting this sort of meld into popra, where they're using pop music and opera. And it's, you're not getting the singers. I mean, there's still great singers out there.
Of course, yeah.
But the voices that I sang with years ago were just all canons. Because that you specialized. When you were an opera singer, most of the times you didn't do Broadway, and Broadway people never came to see opera, and opera people never went to see Broadway
shows.
Why
is there that divide?
There always was. It's just how it is.
Yeah.
But there were specific things. If you were an opera fan or a symphony fan, you went to the symphony. Ballet people went to the ballet. What I like about operas is we can incorporate all of it. Symphony, ballet, acting. You know, I mean, it's just an incredible art form. That's why I really started getting interested in it. And then when I found out I could do comedy, and that's why I specialize in comic roles, even though I still sing, because I have a legitimate voice, where a lot of guys that do my rep, they sort of bark through it. And I mean, they're funny, but they just don't have, they can't sing a line. They get, and it's funny, but I'm fortunate I can sing the roles.
Mm-hmm. Do you think you may ever go over to musical theater?
Oh, I've been asked to do that. Now, when I was drinking heavily years ago, I was asked to do a Broadway show. But they do like 8 shows a week.
Yeah.
See, when I sing opera, I'll do one show, have 3 nights off, do another show, have a couple
the
nights
off. The opera schedule,
so
yeah.
When, so when, yeah, when, well, I didn't want it to interfere with my life schedule.
Right.
And so when they said, well, we really want you to do this show, you'd be perfect. I was thinking, wait a minute. I'm not going to work 8 days a week or 8 shows a week. Oh, my God. But now I would do it because I...
I see you in The Producers as the...
Yeah, a lot of people have asked me. A lot of people said that to me. And I would like to try that sometime.
I think that's going to happen here in Pittsburgh.
I hope so.
We'll work on it. Now the word's out there. It's on record.
Yeah, I'm willing to do it. Hire me, please. I have a family. Oh, I have a granddaughter now. She needs jewelry.
But, you know, we really are encouraging everybody to come and see this because, again, this is a good example of, you know, how opera can be fun. And I think, you know, really reach and break down some of those barriers that we were talking about. Well, if you're a symphony fan, you see the symphony. Right. If you're a musical theater fan, you see musical theater. But a show like Barbara of Seville, I think, really, you know, can play to all of those.
It does. And one thing I always tell people, if you ever want to go to an opera and you've never been to one, see the Barbara of Seville first. Because you will love it. I mean, the music's lively, and you know, a lot of the tunes are from Bugs Bunny.
That's right.
I mean, he stole them off of Rossini, but still. And but this show being updated into the 50s is really cool. My character, I'm going to play him like Louis B. Mayer. He was a big producer.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I'm very familiar.
Back in the 50s. Yeah. So that's how I'm going to play him.
So it is set in the 1950s. That's the concept for this production.
And Rosina is like one of the big movie stars of the time. Mm. So she has like 90 costume changes.
Wow.
But it works perfectly with this opera, you know, because the role of Bartolo really is, he's like the guy. I mean, he's, you know, so Louis B. Mayer was just like him. He wants everything done. And
sort of like that club owner impresario that you
similar,
looked up
very
to for many years.
Similar.
Yeah.
Yes. And then, but what's great about it too is in this production, we're going to have a bunch of, we call them supers, extras,
mm-hmm.
and they're all going to be doing like costumes of different movies that they're going to be in because we're doing it on it's going to be like a set from the movie, so there'll be big cameras and lights around and, you know, a bunch of guys moving stuff and costumes flying in and out. So it'll really have the feel of a movie.
That's
set.
A pretty cool concept. Who's the director of this production?
Linda Brovsky.
Oh.
And they asked her to come up with something really new. And actually, I guess, I don't know the exact story of this, but Pittsburgh, and I don't know if it was Seattle, got this set. It's a new set, and it's totally different from any Barber you've ever seen. But they did I think it's co-produced. But anyway, they rented it to Miami. I just was in Miami doing this a couple months ago. And actually, it's not funny because I was so happy. I was bragging. I'm going to Miami for 2.5 months. I got a condo, the beach, forget about it. It's good. So I get down there. The third day I'm there, I found these Italian guys that had a restaurant and we just started hanging out. And
I can see it.
It was great. And the third day, I go up to my apartment and it had tile floors, and I went into the freezer to get some ice, and I guess while I was doing it, cubes were flying, and I had cowboy boots on, and I turned and twisted and broke my ankle. Third day. So then I had to call my wife and say, look, I know you were coming down in a couple weeks. You have to come down for the whole time because I couldn't do anything.
Yeah.
I was in a wheelchair. So it was set in the 40s, the show down there. So they wheeled me in and they were saying, well, we got to figure out if you can do this show now or what. And I saw this old wheelchair. It looked like one of those ones that Roosevelt used with the wood, you know, straight back.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, what's that? And they said, well, that's a prop. It's just sitting there. I said, does it work? And they said, well, yeah, I think. I said, why can't I just do the show in that? So I did the show in a wheelchair and it really went well. And the thing I didn't like about it was the director was supposed to announce that I broke my ankle and I'm going to have to do the show. And he made it look like this is a great idea.
Yeah.
Bartolo's in a wheelchair. So he got all these accolades. Oh, my God, he's brilliant. I'm like, you son of a...
He owes you.
Yeah, he owes me big time.
10%
you better believe it.
Pulling down over there. Well, you know, what I think about an opera sometimes is, you know, with the roles that you are cast in, you're sort of, you know, limited to what your vocal range is.
Yeah.
So, and then you sort of have that pool of characters that you go back
sure,
to.
There's a lot of them.
But if that were not an issue, if you could play any character in opera that you haven't already, who would you be dying to do?
I think the one role that I may be able to do, I'm gonna start working on it. It's a serious role. It's in Tosca, Scarpia. Hmm. He's such an evil guy, and I've seen guys overplay him. You know, everybody goes ooh, 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 because he's like, but he's not that way. Huh. Scarpia is just a nasty guy. But he looks like, hey, he's not that bad a guy, but he kills people. And, you know, if he looks at you the wrong way, you're dead.
Yeah.
You're not getting out of it. So I have this view of me doing that role because I really think, and vocally now that my voice is in great shape, I think I have the notes to do it. I never did before. So that would be one I'd love to do.
And I'd like to see it because, you know, there are opera performers that I've seen that it's primarily, you know, the singing. They come out, yeah, they stand, right. They sing. Right. And then there are those that acted as well. You're one of those.
Well, it's good because I consider that a compliment, you know, when people call me an actor singer. Mm. I like that because I think that's absolutely what I want to portray. I'm doing a character. And I was just saying to this guy earlier, you know, when I tell young singers, as soon as you come out from the curtain, you are on stage. Yep. So don't look like you're just walking on like, oh, and then all of a sudden you sing and you're a character. You are
that
character.
We've all seen that.
Oh, I know, and it happens a lot. Mm-hmm. But you are that character. As soon as you walk out, you have to think, okay, I'm walking out for a reason. And if you don't, you look like... And then there's also singers that'll say their line and then they go... And then they say their other line. It's like they just... So I tell them, stay in the moment. Stay in the scene. And when you're on stage, people notice you. Don't just stand there like you're out of it.
And I mean, I know discredit. I mean, it's a tremendous amount of work to maintain, you know, the power of that sound, too, and still be thinking about the character.
Yeah.
A lot goes into that. I mean, it's no easy task.
Well, what I do, too, with Italian opera, since I studied that all my life, and with other operas now, too, but I just use the words, because the words are so important. So they help the voice. They really do. If you get those words out there, you don't have to worry about your voice because it's going to come out.
Right.
And it makes it a lot easier. But you have to know what you're saying.
Well, and I think that all of these philosophies come across in your performance, and I think that's part of what makes you so magnetic on stage, Mr. G.
Well, yes, so. I'm magnetic.
But not really. It's to be seen, and we certainly, again, encourage everybody to
oh,
see.
Oh, yeah.
Barber of Seville.
Absolutely.
You in one of your signature roles opening April 2nd here at Pittsburgh
Opera. And I have to say something else. It's my 30th anniversary with Pittsburgh Opera.
This is great.
30th anniversary.
How are we celebrating?
We'll have some cake.
All right. Good for me. I'm good with it. I'm sold. I'm done. Cheers.
Right. Salute.
Beautiful. Yes. Salute. Cheers, cheers. In closing, we would like to once again thank our spectacular sponsors and strategic partners, Off the Wall Theater, Cefalo's Banquet and Events Center, Carnegie, Pennsylvania, Arcade Comedy Theater, Downtown, and Bergvivant is a proud supporter of Firefly Arts, creating opportunities and support for families living with autism through innovative arts programming. Find out more and show your support at fireflyarts.org. And be sure to follow Pittsburgh's Cultural Talk magazine online. You can find Bergvivant, the It in Pittsburgh, on Facebook, Twitter, or subscribe for free at www.bergvivant.com. This is Brian Edwards saying cheers and good night.